I'm going to start by taking you back in time, sometime long time ago for most of you, December 19th, 1979. I was a sophomore in college, and it was finals week, and it was a rough week. We were exhausted. We were studying all the time, as you know, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd gone to sleep. Everyone's gone to sleep, except for one guy, actually two guys, but the first guy, Tom Morag, was brushing his teeth in the bathroom that week, 3 o'clock in the morning. And as I understand it, you could hear a pin drop. No one was awake. It was quiet as a mouse. And he's brushing his teeth. And all of a sudden, he hears a bang at the end of the hallway. Bam! And a scream. Bam! And a scream. Bam! And a scream. Tom leaves the bathroom, runs down the hallway, starts banging on doors, and hears banging behind my door. Shortly after, they find my roommate climbing out of the window, and they find me lying down in a pool of blood. I had been hit in the head with a hammer 11 times, 7 skull fractures. Broke my jaw. Called 911. I don't know if it was 911 back then, but their thing. And the ambulance came. If you could imagine being in the bathroom with Tom and watching him, hearing that bang, and realizing that you had to do something. And that's what he did. Now, picture within the hour, my parents getting the phone call saying, look, your son's been attacked. You have to come down here right away. And signed the paperwork, because they didn't have emails, signed the paperwork so we can operate. Got on the first flight. They got stuck in Philly in a snowstorm. And my mother's pleading with my father, call the hospital, call the hospital. And he wouldn't. He just couldn't. He was just too afraid. Fortunately, the doctors, if you, again, imagine being in the operating room, and they didn't have a choice. And they're hovering over this lifeless body, and they decided to go for it. And they operated for hours upon hours upon hours. And I had a series of operations. The next 6 days, I was in ICU, and I was not lucid. I was screaming. I was swearing. I swore at my parents, my poor parents. And that took us to, coincidentally, December 25th, which my mother really appreciated because she's Catholic, a devout Catholic, and she go and my sister, who is right there, I recognized my sister for the first time. I don't remember any of this, but I recognized my sister, and she let my parents know, and all of a sudden, I was aware of what was going on. And the next 5 or 6 days were also very difficult because I was, the right side of my body was paralyzed, and I wasn't seeing very clearly, and I wasn't thinking that wisely. But maybe on the 11th or 12th day, again, my sister's there, and she noticed that the right side of my body, my ankle, moved for the first time. And it was sort of like then that they knew I was going to be okay. There was a long road ahead after that, but I can tell you the hope section of this of the speech is in my for my parents, for my sister, for my two brothers, okay? Because they were sitting in that room praying and hoping, okay? When I came to, it's hard to describe, and the best way I can describe it is like you're in a room and it's just white. You don't see a thing. And all of a sudden, images start to appear slowly, incrementally, infinitesimally. And then you can see faces, and then you can recognize the faces, and then you can understand kind of stories and partial stories. So in the beginning of January, I started realizing what had happened. But the brain was so great that it brought me back so slowly that I can accept it all. To the point that once I knew what was going on, I said, okay, you know, I go home, I'll have tutors come in, and they could give me classes for the classes that I'm missing. I can go to summer school, and I can try to catch up. And the only thing on my in my mind was that I had to get back to where I left off, right? That's all that mattered. And over the coming years, you know, I had to do things like learn how to walk easily again, upstairs, take a shower, write again, you know, things like that. But that all came with time. You know, I was able to, you know, get an advanced degree. I was able to play tennis again. I was able to run a marathon. I ran a marathon once. I was able to ski. And so for all practical intents and purposes, you know, I was fully recovered. I had a series of seizures early on. Again, I just want to pay a nod to my to the brain, because my brain would not let me have a seizure when I was in a compromising situation. I was always lying down. And it's remarkable, really. I was never driving. I was never walking. I was always lying down. And which brings us, you know, to today, right? I find myself at the age of 65. Some of the neurological challenges are coming back. Could be that I'm 65, right? You get old and you don't walk as well. But some of it is based in neurologies. But it makes me realize, I mean, it's rare that we think about how our brain protects us and how it gets us through the most difficult and the most challenging times. But it can, and yours can. And I was tested, and I am comforted by the fact that no matter how difficult some of these challenges coming against me, approach me, come, then my brain's got my back.